Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Petzer, your host on The Raw Deal. The people who need help today are Hunter Biden's attorneys and Hunter himself. I am so pleased to say we got a judge who actually understands the role she is supposed to fulfill. Get this, just to show how sleazy are these people working on behalf of Hunter. His attorneys face sanctions over misrepresentations to the court. Hunter Biden's attorneys face potential sanctions over misrepresentations of the court after his legal team allegedly lied to the clerk of the court in his criminal case. The president's son was set to enter a plea agreement on Wednesday after his legal team secured a sweetheart deal agreement on Biden's charge by federal authorities of illegally possessing a handgun and failing to pay 2 years' worth of federal taxes. On Tuesday, House Ways and Means Chairman Jason Smith, a Republican of Missouri, submitted a brief to the U.S. District Court Judge Mary Ellen Noriega, arguing she should reconsider Hunter's plea agreement in light of an IRS whistleblower's recent claim that the DOJ stifled the IRS investigation into Hunter. The defendant appears to have benefited from political interference, which calls into question the propriety of the investigation of the U.S. Attorney's Office. Smith's attorney, Theodore Catella, wrote in a court filing, "It is critical that the court consider the whistleblower materials before determining whether to accept the plea agreement." Get this. Biden's attorneys had a staff member call over to the clerk claiming she represented the House Way and Means Committee and there was something in the amicus brief that had been submitted that required it be pulled from the file. I mean, this is so underhanded. This is so duplicitous. This is so corrupt. Now, Biden's attorneys face possible sanctions after a member of the legal team misrepresented her identity to improperly convince the clerk to remove Smith Bree from the docket. I mean, this is just outrageous. But it gets even better. Just in. Judge slaps Hunter with unprecedented release rules. He's furious. Hunter Biden's release conditions were just announced. Judge Mary Ellen Noriega approved the terms which severely restrict Biden's way of life and carry the threat of instant imprisonment should any of them be broken. I love it. But Judge Noriega rejected Biden's plea agreement earlier this morning. The course of his legal tale took a dramatic turn, and Hunter ultimately pled not guilty. That is when Biden's restrictions were announced. The strict regulations reflect the seriousness of the accusation Biden is facing, as well as the difficulties he will encounter in court. Now, just to give you a synopsis, the judge, learning that additional investigations of Hunter are taking place, asked his attorneys and the DOJ whether this plea agreement would also cover and exonerate him from any punishment for the results of those ongoing investigations. This was the plan. He got these couple of relatively minor matters involving the gun possession and taxes when there are far, far more serious issues at stake, where they had ironed this out so that would, you know, they thought covertly just slipped by the judge that they were allowing Hunter to skate in relation to any future discoveries of crimes he may have committed, including those from the ongoing investigation where they know he committed overwhelmingly more serious crimes, including, incidentally, failing to register as a foreign agent, which is a doozy because it brings in how he was operating with his father to participate in all these scams, and that's got the potential to blow apart any prospect Biden would have for the future, though it appears they're planning to steal the election again in 2024, just as they have in 2020 and 2022. Hey, when you're on a roll, when it works, why fix it? Here's what the judge has done. The court has extensive and specific conditions. The criteria requirements are as follows. No possession of firearms. This provision of a standard requirement in many legal situations further underscores the severity of Biden's case. Prohibition on using or possessing any controlled substances. This includes substances such as marijuana, unless specifically prescribed by a doctor. This mandate reflects the court's concern about substance abuse issues. Full federal supervision. Hunter will be under the watchful eye of federal authorities, marking an unprecedented level of scrutiny for the son of a sitting president. Total abstinence from alcohol. This absolute ban on alcohol use appears to address concerns about Hunter's previous struggles with substance addiction. Seek active employment. I love this. This provision, while somewhat unusual, signifies the court's insistence that Hunter lead a constructive, law-abiding life. Yeah, fat chance. Regular testing for prohibited substances. This condition provides a mechanism for the court to enforce the substance use restrictions. Participation in substance abuse therapy, he's going to be overjoyed by this. This requirement, while addressing Biden past issues with addiction, could also serve as a therapeutic route for recovery, as though Hunter Biden wanted to recover. these restrictions aren't just suggestions or recommendations. Any violation of these rules will result in harsh sanctions and perhaps immediate repercussions. They consist of, get this, I love it, immediate issuance of an arrest warrant. The immediate consequence would place Hunter back in custody, a stark turnaround for the son of the president. Revocation of release. Violation of any condition could result in Hunter's release being revoked, signifying a return to detention. Forfeiture of bond. If violated, Hunter risks losing any bond posted, reflecting the financial repercussions and noncompliance. Prosecution for contempt of court, another doozy. This additional legal trouble could further complicate Biden's already intricate legal saga. Hunter Biden's release conditions have just been announced when Judge Noriega rejected Biden's plea agreement earlier this morning. The course of his legal tale took a dramatic turn. Hunter ultimately pled not guilty. Right, we've covered that. Meanwhile, here's more. I mean, it's being tweeted about Nick Sartor breaking the new conditions of release for Hunter Biden have just hit the docket, signed by Judge Mary Ellen Noriega, who shelved Hunter's plea deal today. If Hunter does not comply with any part of the order, he could be immediately arrested and, of course, relates all the issues we've just covered. This is fabulous. Now, bear in mind what the judge did with regard to this plea deal was ask the Department of Justice whether it were true that this agreement would also grant him immunity for any other crimes should be subsequently discovered. Now, that was the plan. There's no doubt about it. You couldn't have this covert agreement in there if it were not deliberate. But it's one thing to have that as a covert plan. It's a whole nother matter to have it publicly exposed in a court of law. They could not admit to having that implied in the agreement because it would have reflected massive corruption on the Department of Justice. So when they were specifically asked by the court, they had to answer no. But at that point, Hunter's attorneys became furious because they said, well, if it doesn't cover the future, then there's no plea deal. He withdrew where he had planned to plead guilty to these relatively minor offenses and was then forced to go forward and in relation to the charges to enter a not guilty plea, which set up all of these conditions. In other words, here's a judge who didn't let herself be played. And believe me, it has created quite a stir in Washington. Everyone assumed Hunter was going to skate. Well, it didn't happen. And I say, God bless Mary Ellen. I'm very impressed. Very impressed. Well, get this. Joe Biden 2024 is looking very strange. Compared to other potential 2024 presidential candidate, Joe Biden has the most cash on hand. Ironically, he does not have a reelection campaign. An incumbent president with plenty of funds may be expected to have started laying the framework for the general election, especially because he needn't spend anything to win the primary. So why doesn't Biden employ campaign workers? This is all a part of his plan, according to his advisors, which should frighten you. Julie Chavez Rodriguez, the campaign manager for President Biden, has devoted her first months in the position squatting inside a borrowed workplace overlooking an Amtrak commuter train on Capitol Hill, planning a broad national reelection attempt with only a handful of additional paid staffers. Her whole operation cost $1.4 million from April to June, around an eighth of what President Obama's reelection campaign invested in the same time period in 2011, when it had operated from inside an imposing office suite in Chicago that was almost the size of an average football field. Biden's claim that skeletal quality isn't a weakness, but rather a strategy. Barack Obama's reelection campaign had already spent more than $10 million at this point. As was previously mentioned, at the time of this writing, Biden, however, has only spent $1.4 million. That doesn't simply happen, especially since money is obviously not a problem. Dark money organizations and Democrat contributors are lined up to provide Joe the money he will require to outspend the forthcoming GOP nominee. That may be the reason Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is a target of Vice President Kamala Harris' abrupt attempt to promote her own profile, given Harris' longstanding unpopularity and limited support. Democrats are betting on California Governor Gavin Newsom, which is the more likely conclusion. He has already caused controversy by touring the nation and sparring with governors of red states. Republicans will chuckle when they hear me say that, but Newsom needs to be taken seriously. Has his string of awful policy choices led to the destruction of his own state? Yes. But he has a smooth speaking style and is exactly the type of man suburban women lust over. And who do you think essentially decides our national elections a day? Women from the suburbs. Don't at all underestimate Newsom. Republicans would have a far stiffer struggle if he were to win the Democrat nomination than if Joe Biden stayed in office. This brings me to my second hypothesis. Biden thinks Donald Trump will win the nomination. Well, there's no doubt about it. Trump is 40 points ahead or more in relation to the GOP race. He's already polling way, way, way ahead of any other nominee, including DeSantis, and 5 points ahead of Biden. But, of course, that'll just be a fluke when they use the same methods of theft: Dominion voting machine, drop boxes, mail-in ballots, trucks full of fake votes to steal the election. Now get this. RFK Jr. is a thorn. It's a very tricky situation for the Democrat Party. I mean, he comes to the greatest party in the history of the Democratic Party, with a possible exception of the Roosevelt family. The Kennedy family is preeminent. His uncle JFK was assassinated. His father RFK was assassinated. Get this. Biden admin refuses to provide Robert Kennedy Jr. with Secret Service protection, despite his standing in the race and family history. The Gateway Pundit. Robert Kennedy Jr. announced Friday on Twitter that the Biden admin has still not provided his campaign with Secret Service protection. Robert says after several requests, they have received no response after 88 days. This is unconscionable. Robert Kennedy Jr. Since the assassination of my father in 1968, candidates for president are provided Secret Service protection, but not me. Typical turnaround time per pro forma protection request from presidential candidates is 14 days. After 88 of no response, and after several follow-up by our campaign, the Biden administration just denied our request. Secretary Mayorkas, I have determined that Secret Service protection for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is not warranted at this time. This is a head of Homeland Security who's a scumbucket. This is a guy who's welcoming all the illegals pouring across our border. He, along with Lloyd Austin and other prominent figures in the Biden admin, has not signed a oath of loyalty to the United States Constitution. He's a traitor. What could be more blatant than this? Absolutely outrageous. Our campaign request included a 67-page report from the world's leading protection firm detailing unique and well-established security and safety risks aside from commonplace death threats. Since the assassination of my father in 1968, candidates for president are provided Secret Service protection, but not me. This is now what he has tweeted. Typical turnaround time for pro forma protection requests from presidential candidates is 14 days. After 88 days of no response and after several requests, it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. spoke to the Gateway Pundit's Jim Hoft, who's a wonderful, excellent guy, about his father and uncle's assassination during our recent interview. Robert knows firsthand about the dangers of being a public figure. This is outrageous. Simply outrageous. Let me mention, by the way, last night, I went to watch Sound of Freedom. And I'll tell you, I was deeply impressed. The acting, the storyline, based on a true story, but of course with fictionalized elements. I mean, this is a movie. Extremely well done. Extremely well done. And let me say, yes, I've read complaints. Doesn't go far enough, deep enough into who is responsible and why all this is taking place. This is an icebreaker. This is a film that was done with a very sensitive touch. This is a movie that even residents of Washington, D.C. could talk about at a cocktail party. That's what this was intended to be, an icebreaker. I'm given to understand Mel Gibson has three or four films in the works that are going to knock it out of the park. But you need to open the public mind. And that's what happened here. We have an opening of the public mind. And I'll just tell you, this is well worth your effort. I had to drive 20 or 30 minutes to get to the theater. Even though it's selling out around the nation, the specific theater in which I watched, which has 55 seats, it's a remodeled where they have all these super comfortable recliners. I mean, they're big, cushy seats. It was only partially full. I mean, it's a relatively small, this particular screen. Relatively small, 55 seats. I'd say it was maybe half or even only a third full. But believe me, you want to watch this. The acting is really superb. At the end, the star, whom I'm hoping to feature, makes a pitch about what's going on here and how important it is to share with everyone. Friends, family, you know, anyone you can reach out to. I agree completely. He's got it right. He's got it right. And I'm just very, very happy with the film. But everyone needs to appreciate this isn't a documentary. This is a cinema created and designed for the big screen to break the ice about a subject that has been largely taboo within American society. So I'm extremely happy with the result, and I believe you will too. I mean, there's a lot going on here, and it's really, really good. So if you have the opportunity, take advantage. I think my ticket was $10 and a quarter or something like that. But definitely, definitely worth watching. Definitely. So I want to encourage you to give a big thumbs up. I give it a 5-star rating. Remember, as I observe now, Trump is up 40 points over DeSantis, leading Biden by 5, but Biden doesn't even have a re-election campaign in operation. If you ask why, I think the answer is obvious. They're planning to steal it, but I'm telling you, this development with Hunter in court is a curveball they did not see coming. All the other reports about the case implied Hunter was going to skate, that it was all in the bag, that it was all a done deal. And I got to say how much I praise this court, this jurist. You want to know if one person can make a difference? Here's one person fulfilling her role obligations as a federal court judge and not allowing them to get away with it. When we return, my special guest, Rolf Lundgren, will join us. Stand by.
At the tone, please.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Mitchell, we don't have Rolf here with us yet. Mitchell. Rolf, are you there, my friend? You need to call in, Rolf. I'll try a call to him. I'm a little surprised. I thought we had this all set. Okay, I'm on it. Working on it. Let me just say,
please leave a message for Jeffrey Smith after the tone.
That's Jeff Smith. That's not Rolf. Well, you got to call in. Yeah, call in. 540-352. Okay, go ahead. Answer it.
Hello?
Hey, Rolf. Good. I'm delighted to have you back on the show, Rolf. And I know you're going big time in the music industry, which is fascinating in and of itself. I mentioned, by the way, in the opening segment, how Trump is leading DeSantis by 40 points in the latest Harvard-Harris poll. He's leading Biden by 5, that Biden hasn't even initiated a re-election campaign, and many are suspecting that's because he plans to steal the election again, as he did in 2020 and as the Democrats did in 2022. Your thoughts about all of the above?
Well, he doesn't really have to run a campaign because the news media runs his campaign. You know, he doesn't have to do anything. Remember the last election, he just sat in the basement during the COVID thing and didn't do much. So I haven't actually heard that he hasn't hired anybody. But, you know, another thing is maybe he's not really going to run for reelection. What if he just doesn't run? What if they decide to switch him with Gavin Newsom? There could be a problem with Kamala Harris, too, because they have two different people who would be the logical candidate if Joe Biden isn't running. So they have to pay Harris off somehow, like offer her to the Supreme Court is the most common thing. But of course you can't just give her the Supreme Court because, well, first of all, right now there's no openings, right? And then if after this election, there's a pretty good chance the Republicans are going to retake the Senate because the Senate map is massively favorable to Republicans in 2024. So would a Republican Senate confirm Kamala Harris to the Supreme Court? I doubt it. It's not the old days of just saying, oh, yeah, we'll do it. We'll confirm for people. Those days are over for the Supreme Court. They won't. It's become partisan and strategic again, just like other things. So and another problem they have with Biden is Biden is the only Democrat candidate nationally outside of, you know, the Obamas, of course, maybe Clinton, who can get the minority vote out, okay? The minority vote, not, you know, obviously not all minorities, but a lot of minority voters trust Joe Biden because he was Obama's vice president for 8 years, okay? These same people who know who Joe Biden is, they don't know who Gavin Newsom is. They don't know who he is. So that would be a problem to get those people to vote because, Joe Biden has done nothing to help minorities. They just do a few things here and there. Like they put up a national monument the other day about some guy who got lynched in the 50s, I guess, which is a terrible thing that happened, but is that really worth a national monument, and how does that benefit anybody? Why are we celebrating a lynching? Why, I thought monuments were supposed to be about good things. So they have a lot of problems. Kamala Harris polls terribly. She's a terrible in the polls. Now there's some interesting polling data coming out right now. In some betting markets right now, Ramaswamy is catching up and has passed Ron DeSantis. Have you heard about that?
Really? Really? No, that's fascinating.
On predictit.com, where you actually buy it's like a betting odds. Okay, now DeSantis they're tied. A few minutes ago, Ramaswamy was ahead 18-17. It means like 18% chance of winning. Now it's 17-17. Trump is at 56. So if Trump has better than 3-1 lead over DeSantis, DeSantis's campaign is going nowhere fast. He's never going to get the nomination. There's no way he's going to get the nomination. Though some people might think, well, maybe with all these charges or something, he could somehow get the nomination. Well, I guess you could always hope for something. Now there's other interesting polling data, and you said that the Harvard poll had Biden up by 5%.
No, it had Trump up by 5 over Biden.
Yeah, that's right. Trump was up by 5%. Now, overall, it's pretty much of a tie between Trump and Biden. If you look at all the polls, Trump is doing better against Biden than Ron DeSantis in head-to-head polling. And that's important. That's important because the only argument that DeSantis makes is that he's better in the general election. And I heard the idiot on the radio this morning, Dan O'Donnell, the guy who hates Trump. He was telling us that Trump can't win. Well, how can you say someone can't win when they're ahead by 5% in a poll? Okay, right now, Real Clear Politics has Biden ahead by 0.9% over Trump and 1.9% over DeSantis. Okay, well, that's pretty close. So how can you claim that Trump can't win and Trump is doing better than DeSantis? So it's just more crap. We went through this. We've gone through this before. In 2016, we were told that Trump couldn't win. Okay, and guess what? He won anyway, didn't he? So in 2012, we were told we had to vote for Mitt Romney because he could win. Well, he didn't come close to winning. In 2008, we were told we had to vote for McCain because he could win. And, of course, he didn't come close to winning. And by the way, McCain and Romney, even if they had won, they would have been lousy presidents anyway. So even if they – what good would it have done? They might have been worse than – for all we know, they could have been as bad as Obama. They could have been worse than Obama. You know, we don't really know. So the people who tell us we have to vote for someone because they've decided who can win and who can't, those people are not believed anymore. It's not working. Now, there's some other interesting polling. Robert Kennedy is... Some people actually think Robert Kennedy can get the presidential nomination. Right now he's sitting at about 10% chance of getting the nomination. Now, the way I would think about it, I would think that he has a 0% chance because the powers that be in the Democratic Party would never let him be the president or the candidate. They would never allow that. So I don't know why some people think he could win. Maybe if Joe Biden drops out, maybe they think that Robert Kennedy could win the nomination. Let's say it was Robert Kennedy versus Gavin Newsom. Or here's another one. What if he had a poll that said Robert Kennedy versus Gavin Newsom against Kamala Harris? who would be leading in that poll. Maybe Robert Kennedy would be. So maybe that's what people are thinking with Robert Kennedy. See, the powers that be, the globalist billionaires, still for the most part control the Democratic Party. They have no control now over the Republican Party, and they don't like it. They don't like it. It used to be that the mainstream media could win. You could win the Republican primary because the mainstream media would, you know, over and over and over, they would say, this guy is the guy who can win. This is a mainstream candidate. This candidate would be good in the general. And that used to work. It barely worked with Mitt Romney. If you remember him, with Ron Paul was running that in that election. So was people like Herman Cain, Newt Gingrich, Rick Santorum, Michelle Bachmann. I think Huckabee was running. It doesn't work anymore. Now the most important thing is to me is the arguments about Trump, the charges against Trump, and whether the charges will help Trump or hurt Trump. Okay. And, you know, if you go back 6 months, you know, people weren't telling you that the charges were going to help Trump in the primary. Some people were saying that maybe, but some people were thinking that Trump would be knocked out. And normally when the feds charge you, that knocks you out. If the news media starts leaking that you're under investigation, usually that's just enough to knock you out. Okay. And then if you get raided, that'll knock you out. And then when you get charged with a crime by the feds, the public has already decided that you're guilty because they've been leaking to the media for 6 months. With Trump, it isn't working. So with Trump, what actually happened was Trump's poll numbers got better in the primaries. So now they're saying, oh, they just want Trump to win the primary but lose the general. Well, think about it. One of the biggest issues in a primary poll is how good is the candidate going to be in the general, right? That's a big issue with primary voters. And most primary voters seem to think that Trump is the best candidate in the general, and they don't think the charges against Trump are going to affect his chances of winning. Most people don't seem to think that. Maybe the charges will help Trump in the general election. I think the charges are actually going to help Trump in the general election. In fact, I think that Trump baited the FBI to raid his property because he was in these negotiations, and Trump just said, "No, I'm not doing it." Something the FBI wanted this or they wanted that. And Trump talked to his lawyers and said, "You can do this; it's not illegal." So Trump looked over the laws and the case law and said, "No, I can do this." And then the FBI took his bluff and raided him. So now we're there. Then the same thing with the DOJ. Trump probably could have avoided charges if he would have went and talked to the DOJ. That's what most people do, because most people are scared to death by these people, but not Trump. And you know, Trump could actually go to jail. You know, Trump could be put in prison. If Trump doesn't win the election, the interest in Trump after the election will be much lower than it is now. And then they'll put him on trial, and then he'll probably lose, and then he'd be put in prison. That could happen. So we have to really make sure that Trump wins, because we need to clean up the deep state. Now, there's another guy who had the same thing happen to him. Remember John Edwards? He wasn't put on trial until after he lost the elections. Remember, he was the vice presidential candidate in 2004, okay, with John Kerry. He was put on trial after the election, after his scandal broke. So when nobody wanted to defend John Edwards, nobody did. He was a scumbag. Remember, he was banging some woman, and he was married with three teenage girls, and you know, some person in California sent $900,000 to this woman to keep her quiet. The woman was like 99 years old and then died not long afterwards. Then they charged John Edwards with not reporting a campaign donation. And, of course, the prosecutor was Jack Smith, by the way. And John Edwards had a hung jury or not guilty on some counts. And no counts of guilty at all. So there was no case to be appealed since he wasn't convicted. It never went to the court of appeal. So there's no case law really on the John Edwards trial, except for unless you use the district court rulings, which the district court claimed these were legitimate charges, which they're not, though. They're bogus. It's bogus because if someone pays money like that, it's not a campaign donation. You can't use campaign money to pay off women. It's not legal. So this is Jack Smith, but the point I'm making right now is that they didn't go after John Edwards when he was running for president or vice president or Senate, for that matter. They went after him after he had already lost. And usually when people lose, people don't care as much about people who have lost. Their poll numbers go down. People just don't care. And then the feds come in when you're weak, and then they nail you and put you in prison. That's what they do. And that's what they're hoping to happen with Trump. They're really hoping that Trump loses, and then they're going to put him in prison. That's what they want to do. So, now I don't think that's going to happen. I am worried about voter fraud, of course, but voter fraud is not going to be as bad as it was in the 2020 election. And here's the reason. People know about voter fraud. Now, everybody's heard about voter fraud. Everybody's looking for voter fraud. They can't just sneak in. Zuckerberg can't put in $400 million quietly and nobody notices it. It can't happen. Here in Wisconsin, we went from around 800 poll workers who are Republicans to apparently on power to get about 7,000 poll workers signed up by the end of the year. They have to be signed up by November. If you want to be a poll worker in Wisconsin, you got to sign up by November of this year for the 2024 election. And there was around 5,000 last election, and now there's going to be around 7,000, maybe even 8,000 for this year. So I don't think you can do as much voter fraud when there's 8,000 Republicans counting the votes. It's going to be a lot harder to do. The biggest way elections are rigged is through the media, the biased news coverage of the media, censorship on big tech, and creating viruses and things like that, and using the criminal system to try to arrest candidates or arrest their friends or investigate their family. That's, to me, that's much worse than the vote counting. The vote counting is still a problem too. So I was going to ask you, are we going to be playing those songs on the radio today, or how?
Absolutely, Rolf. I thought we'd start off the second hour with your musical innovations. I mean, it's really different and wonderful. Let me ask you a couple of questions here before we reach that point. How do you think the turn in the Hunter Biden case, where it turns out his attorneys had impersonated a member of a House committee to request that an amicus brief that had been submitted related to the IRS whistleblower account was removed by falsely claiming to be a member of the committee, and now where the judge has seen through the deal to allow Hunter to plead to these minor offenses, but it had a covert section that exonerated him, in essence, granted him immunity for any future charges. And because that was designed and by intent, and as long as it remained covert, it was fine for the DOJ, but it was such an obviously corrupt action that when the judge asked, Does this agreement imply that he will be immune from any future charges? They had to say no, which of course caused Hunter's team to be outraged because that was always their understanding. He'd be able to plead to these minor matters and skate on the more serious. And she forced him. He was thus compelled to take a stand, make a plea of not guilty. And now she's imposed a whole host of conditions on him during his release. I think all of Washington was just dumbfounded when the judge forced the DOJ to admit that they were, put them on the hot seat to admit that this were or were not the case, because it's clear it was always the intent that that be the case, but they could not admit it publicly. And then Hunter's team reacted as though this was all news to them because that's what they'd been counting on. I think this throws a monkey wrench into the whole Hunter business because, Rolf, among the charges that Hunter is likely to be charged with in the future, if there's any semblance of justice left, and with his DOJ, it's not obvious there is, would be failing to register as a foreign agent and all the, you know, evidence we have, including the 17 phone calls about collusion with Ukraine, Burisma, all that. And I gather now there are a whole lot more phone calls that have Joe, not just the two that were released by the head of Burisma, but many, many, many more. Isn't this likely to complicate the Democrats' campaign strategy?
Definitely, yes. The plea agreement blowing up is a disaster for the public relations, because the strategy on Hunter Biden is they want people who don't really know much about politics and also Democrats to say, oh, that's just something that the Republicans talk about. Yeah, they're always upset about. They're upset about abortion, and they're upset about Hunter Biden. They're upset about, you know, they want you to poo-poo it and think it's not a big deal. Well, the problem with the plea agreement not going through, the first problem is if it had gone through, it would have been a successful cover-up, a very successful cover-up, not a complete cover-up because the Congress is investigating them, but it would have been very, very beneficial for the cover-up. By it not going through, it draws attention to the issue. I mean, you probably get at least 10 times as much coverage of Hunter Biden because the plea agreement blew up. And anybody who knows anything about how courts work, how often does the prosecutor offer you a plea agreement that you take and then the judge doesn't accept it? How often does that even happen? Not very often. So it grabs people's attention. The thing about the impersonation, okay, this is another one of these things where it's not really, you can't blame Hunter Biden legally for what the lawyer did, right? Now, normally what happens when a lawyer does that is they get disbarred, basically. I remember reading about a case a long time ago where a defense lawyer, I think it might have been like a drunk driving case. The defense lawyer put someone in the seat where where the defendant sits, and then the defendant was sitting in the back of the courtroom, and the witness comes up and says, who is the cop or something, and says, who is the person that you pulled over? You know, can you point that person out to us? And then they point to the person where the defendant usually sits. And then the defense lawyer moves to dismiss. Well, this person doesn't even know who they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. And so the court dismissed the charges because the witness was identifying the wrong person. But then the lawyer got disbarred, so the defendant got away, but not the lawyer. Well, of course, the difference we have now is we have a system of justice that defends anyone who's part of the deep state and the New World Order or the Democratic Party. So this lawyer was probably just doing this, you know, for all we know, this lawyer will probably be hired. Some billionaire will probably offer this lawyer a job doing something. So even if this lawyer does get into some legal problems, I'm sure that they'll land on their feet. And that's how the system works. That's why the system is corrupt, because the people doing the bad things get rewarded. Now, the charges themselves about Hunter Biden obviously being involved in massive bribery, and then you talk about the FARA Act. Well, the FARA Act, of course, is not massive bribery. The FARA Act has basically never been used until Trump was around, and all of a sudden they found some law that was never used and got all these Trump people convicted. The problem with the FARA Act, of course, is that you can't really force law enforcement to charge people. They can always make an excuse not to file charges. They can say, we don't think we can get a conviction. You know, we don't think it's in the interest of justice. We don't have enough people to do the case. So there's always an excuse not to do it. But the problem, of course, is that people are seeing how unfair this is. The FARA Act is an easy case. Now, the FARA convictions are probably still in the Court of Appeals. I bet you the cases that of Trump's friends who were convicted on FARA, I'm pretty sure that those are still in the court. So the courts may end up throwing out all those convictions, right? Of course, the real point of those convictions was to stop Trump. And if it takes 5 years to get your case thrown out, what good does that do you? If you're in politics, not much. So, as far as the massive bribery, this is really worse than anything that we've ever seen in the United States. We've never seen the president being involved in massive bribery. We've seen a few cabinet members occasionally, like the Teapot Dome scandal, and I think Credit Mobilier back when Grant was president. But we haven't really seen this kind of bribery with the whole family involved. There's Jim Biden, and then there's like a James Biden, and there's another guy named Frank Biden. There's a lot of Bidens out there.
Rolf, this is wonderful, wonderful stuff. We'll continue with Rolf Lindgren right after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Rolf, I gotta say, I Joe Biden does not appear to me to be a viable candidate, even if they have rigged the election. His winning would be so outrageous. I gather his actual honest poll numbers are down to 9% approval. He does all these things that demonstrate his incompetence, his senility. He's just a disaster. I think there's more coming out. He nibbled on this little girl in a really repulsive fashion. I think the public is totally turned off to Joe Biden. So they got to get him out of the way. Kamala, of course, is a total airhead. I agree with you. It's going to be Newsom they want to bring in, but I believe complimented by Michelle as VP candidate. Now, there's a history of Newsom malfeasance, incompetence in governing California that I think is going to become a major issue, but now we have the scandal at the Obama Martha Vineyard estate where the chef drowns in 8 feet of water. I mean, there are a lot of very peculiar circumstances here. There was someone with him paddleboarding, but they've never identified who it is. That would be the key witness. Presumably, I actually think that he was deliberately drowned. There was a report, again, anonymous, coming from their home, but it didn't say who called in saying he was dressed all in black and he disappeared underwater and didn't resurface. That implies direct visual observation. Initially, they said the Obamas were not at home, then said they were elsewhere on Martha's Vineyard. Where were they? At Edgerton Great Pond, where this event occurred. I think there's a real issue here. This story is going to have legs. And it could very seriously compromise her candidacy to be vice president with Newsom. I'm interested in your thoughts about the combination and also who you think Trump might choose as his running mate. I believe it's going to be my wonderful Tulsi Gabbard from Hawaii. I favored her for forever. Your thoughts about all the above.
Okay. You think Tulsi Gabbard would be what, a Democrat or a Republican?
No, she's moved to be an independent, Rolf. So she would be showing that Trump is reaching across the aisle to bring someone, you know, as a kind of a unity combination.
He probably wouldn't pick Tulsi Gabbard. He would probably pick her for something in the cabinet, but he would probably consider her for VP. He would bring her in for an interview, and there would be publicity about it. You know, he might do something like that. As far as being the actual VP, I mean, there's there's, you know, I think Tim Scott is the best pick for winning the election, but you never know. Now, getting back to Michelle Obama, if Michelle Obama said, "I'm going to run for president," let's say they know Joe Biden is done, they don't think that the other candidates are very good, she would be instantly way ahead on the polls. No question. Okay. The problem, of course, she would have to work. She lives a jet set lifestyle right now. She flies around the world. They roll out the red carpet. She's on the cover of magazines. Do you really think she's going to give that up to run for president? Because if she runs for president, then there's going to be a massive investigation into the Obamas will be under scrutiny again, and it would. I don't think she would make it. She wouldn't. First of all, I don't think she would want to go through that. So I think the odds of her running are zero. Also, her poll numbers would start to drop. You know, after a few months, she would be back down, polling probably pretty much the same as Biden. Frankly, that's the problem with her. Now she would be able to get minority vote, which the Democrats need those people to vote to win. But I seriously doubt that she would ever run. I think that the people that they're looking at are looking at Gavin Newsom. Now, Gavin Newsom may have a bunch of scandals and stuff. Of course, all the Democrats do. But the thing about Gavin Newsom is he's not a complete idiot. He's a smart enough guy, you know, to run a company. You know, he's good with the news media. He's a slick guy with the news media. So he is a good candidate. But he would, like I said, he would be weak on minority voters. So they'd have to figure out how to help him there. You know, Michelle Obama could come out and endorse them. That's another thing you can do. Now, as far as not believing the polling with Joe Biden, you have to remember that probably just roughly speaking, one-third of Americans hate Democrats, one-third of Americans hate Republicans, and one-third of Americans hate everybody, okay? So there's always going to be, you know, 30-something percent of the people who will, if it's a two-way poll with Democrat or Republican, there's always going to be people that say, "Oh yeah, I like Joe Biden." They're not really saying they like Joe Biden. Maybe they disagree with his policies. They probably don't even know what his policies are, for the most part. But they just generally think, "Oh, the Democrats, they're for the working class people or something." That's how people used to think. Now, of course, that's no longer true because Trump is really the candidate of the working class people. But that's the way the polling is off. The problem with the polling, in my view, the biggest problem is there's a lot of Trump voters who aren't being polled because a lot of Trump voters haven't been voting. Okay, they haven't been voting, and one thing is voter fraud, the voter fraud issue. Voter fraud was not an issue in 2020 election. People were not talking about voter fraud. Now everybody's talking about voter fraud. Okay, there's a lot of people who think they like Trump because they think he's the only guy who's fighting the system, fighting for me and you and for the system, fighting against the deep state, fighting the swamp, whatever you want to believe it. And by talking about voter fraud, something you're not supposed to talk about on television, well, Trump does talk about it and does stuff about it. He filed lawsuits as protests, and so the point is that there's a lot of people out there who haven't been voting, and they're going to go vote for Trump in the next election, and they may not be counted in a poll because if the pollster says, "Did you vote in 2020 presidential election?" If you say no, then they're not going to count your vote in the poll. Okay, so if you hear someone say that Trump has not widened his base, that's completely not true. Most people think there's a lot of voter fraud, regardless of how much there really is. There's some people think there's a lot, some people think there's a little bit. The reality is that most people think there's a significant amount of voter fraud. They believe that's what people believe, and when people on TV say there's no voter fraud, most people know that that isn't true, and that helps Trump because people who think there's a lot of voter fraud are going to vote for Trump. Now, when are we going to play those songs, by the way?
Oh, Rob, we're getting there. We're getting there. You're doing a super job. I really like what you've been saying today about the election. Now, you have two songs, and I know one's about Georgia, and the other, which
the Democrats
which like?
Went down to Georgia.
The Democrats went down to Georgia. Mitchell, you got that song set up for us to play and then talk about?
The new song is Biden Inflation Blues.
Biden Inflation Blues. Okay.
We should sing that. We'll play that one first.
Yeah. Which one
if
first?
We can. I would play Biden Inflation Blues first.
Okay.
That's the newest one. We play the other. I mean, we can play the other song too. We played back in March. We played the other song three times, I think, on one show.
Well, I'm glad to play it again, Rob.
Okay, we'll play
Biden
them both.
Inflation.
Then.
Biden Inflation Blues. Mitchell, can you put that on the air here?
And by the way, Biden Inflation Blues is now available on YouTube. It's also available on Apple Music, and it's available on up to 38 different music services. Biden Inflation Blues, and it's under Wisco Rolf. I'm now Wisco Rolf. That's what they said my name is. Wisco Rolf is easy to remember. It's short for Wisconsin, and it rhymes with disco.
Wisco Rolf. You got it. Mitchell's, I think, got it set up. Go ahead, Mitchell, play Biden Inflation Blues.
I'm still working on it, Jim. Hang on.
Oh,
here it is.
Okay.
Biden Inflation Blues. Let me share my screen, and we'll get right into it.
You got it.
It's also on iHeartMusic.
Up and up and up and up. My check remains the same. That's why I got the blues. Joe Biden, inflation blues.
Well, tell us about it, Rolf. Give us how you put together the lyrics and so forth and your inspiration for putting this out.
Okay, well, thank you very much. The song is basically a parody of the B.B. King song called Inflation Blues. And, you know, it was easy to write the lyrics. I just, you know, changed it from, you know, the opening line of the original is, "Hey, Mr. President." So I just changed it to, "Hey, Joe Biden." I wanted to bring up things that are overlooked. Like I mentioned, the Federal Reserve. We know the Federal Reserve is one of the main causes of inflation. In fact, when the Federal Reserve was founded in 1913, the your buying power with the dollar is really like was really 100 times more. They say the official rate is like 35 times or something since 1930. It's more than that. You could get by, you know, you could get a dollar was actually valuable in 1913. That's why we mention a worthless dollar in the song. Then also we mentioned Bitcoin in there, just to throw a few bones out for the cryptocurrency people. The fact is that the dollar is almost turning into a cryptocurrency because it's not backed by anything. The only difference between a cryptocurrency and the dollar is really that the government runs the dollar, and the government doesn't run the cryptocurrency. So the song, I have played this song for many people. I will meet people when I'm out and about, crisscrossing southern Wisconsin and northern Illinois, and you know, regular people really relate to this song. People, not political junkies like me and you, or people who maybe listen to it, but regular people really relate to inflation. You know, we say in the song, it says Joe Biden doesn't have a clue. The Federal Reserve doesn't have a clue as well. Well, that's because people believe that. That's what people think. People think that. I'd like to get Trump to play these songs at his rally. Anyone who knows Trump, please contact him and tell him to play the Biden Inflation Blues and the other song, The Democrats Went Down to Georgia at His Rallies. These songs are great for getting people interested. Now, if you go up to someone and start talking about politics, they're not interested. If you bring some flyer about some scandal, hey, look at this, you know, people really aren't interested. But if you play a song, one of these songs for a person, they listen. 90% of the people I play this song to like it. The only time someone doesn't like it is occasionally there's some ideological Democrat who probably likes inflation or something who doesn't like it. But almost everybody likes this song. And I'm talking about people who are not political junkies. It grabs people's attention. It's great for outreach, not just for younger people or college students. It's good for outreach for anybody. This is a technique that should be used more often by politicians, frankly, is playing some music to get people's attention. Remember, Kennedy had a song in 1960. You remember Kennedy's theme song, JFK's? And I'm not really going to be able to sing the song, but you know that Kennedy had a really good theme song back in 1960.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what it was.
Yeah, maybe someone could look it up, but anyways, I'm not going to try to sing it now because it wouldn't sound very good. But it's a catchy little tune. It's not really as good as Biden Inflation Blues.
It was High Hopes. It was High Hopes.
Okay, yeah, it was a great song. Remember, my song isn't crafted specifically for a campaign, so some of the lyrics wouldn't necessarily be the exact lyrics that a candidate would use, you know, whereas Kennedy's song was crafted by the campaign specifically for the campaign. My song is more general. It's a great song just to get people interested in politics. I think that people who listen to my song just one time makes them more likely to vote for Trump. I know people I talk to don't necessarily like, no, they usually don't like Biden. That's why you get the impression that most people don't like Biden, and you wonder how can he have a 40% approval. Well, I get that impression too. But what I do know is that there's a lot of people who don't like Biden who don't like Trump either. Okay, and those are the people that you want. Those are the people who like this song. They love it, especially Biden Inflation Blues. Now, what are the odds of playing the other song? The Democrats went down to Georgia.
We can do all the above. In fact, okay. Mitchell's pulled up Sinatra singing High Hopes. Why don't we do that? Then we're going to play Inflation Blues again, and we'll get, after the break, Democrats go down to Georgia. Mitchell, yeah. Go ahead. Sinatra, High Hopes.
Everyone is voting for Jack, 'cause he's got what all the rest lack. Everyone wants to back Jack. Jack is on the right track, 'cause he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. 1960's the year for his high hopes. Come on and vote for Kennedy. Vote for Kennedy, and we'll come out on top. Oops, there goes the opposition girl. Oops, there goes the opposition girl. Oops, there goes the opposition girl. KEDNEDY. Jack's the nation's favorite guy. Everyone wants to back Jack. Jack is on the right track, 'cause he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. 1960's the year for his high hopes. Come on and vote for Kennedy. Vote for Kennedy. Keep America strong.
How could you top that? Frank Sinatra singing a variation of High Hopes to promote JFK. They had a falling out subsequently. Frank had a helipad built at his Palm Springs home for JFK to visit. But at the last minute, there was a deviation, and he wound up landing at Bing Crosby, I think, instead of Sinatra, because, and I don't know if Bobby warned him of this, because of Frank's alleged ties to the mafia. Frankly, I think Jack should have gone to Sinatra's helipad. Frank actually got out there with a sledgehammer and started breaking it apart after JFK, you know, aborted the visit. I thought that was very, very unfortunate. Let's play Biden Inflation Blues once more before we hit the break. And then I got another song I want to share with you after. Mitchell. Biden Inflation Blues.
You haven't got a clue.
tax away my living. Can't save a cent. You take all my money, none left to pay my rent. I got the blues, Joe Biden, inflation blues. In a highbrow Democrat, and Joe six pack to you, grew up eating pizza, burritos, and Mountain Dew. You give me that worthless dollar, its value is pretty lame. Ready to switch to Bitcoin, it's a low down dirty shame. I got the blues, Joe Biden, inflation blues. Check remains the same. That's why I got the blues. Joe Biden, inflation.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Rolf, why don't you make sure you email to Mitchell your other song, the George's song. Meanwhile, I want to ask Mitchell to play what is my favorite political campaign song. Mitchell, could you play the Mega song? I love this. I just love this.
Sure, Jim. Let me get it on here.
I tried to kill the break so we could get all of your Biden inflation blues, but we'll get it on again, Rolf. We'll do it all.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, that's all available on iHeartMusic, Apple Music, YouTube, and supposedly it's on 38 music sites altogether.
Nice, very nice.
That's Biden inflation blues, and the other song is on Rumble.
Yeah,
the Democrats went down to Georgia. Sometimes it's titled "The Devil Went Down to Georgia 2024 version."
Right, 2024 version.
Yeah.
Mitchell, go ahead and play it if you got it. Mega. Can I play it?
I sent the other song to him, but I'll send it to him.
Yeah, I thought so. Here we go.
Walk away from the hate. We're all human, and we don't segregate.
Just like living, how big America great.
We are all in this together.
Colors
of red, white, and blue, and these and more. Everyone of you, and together. Everybody say
Everybody say,
You know what strikes me about that, Rolf, is that gays yeah. and lesbians were very big supporters of Trump. I wonder if all this banana tranny stuff coming from the Democrats is because they were worried Trump was winning over what they would have regarded as a traditional Democrat constituency, just as all the race stuff is supposed to win over blacks, but actually... most blacks are appalled by all the rampant claims of racism and all the other bullshit coming from the Democrats. It's only the extremists like BLM and Antifa who are being given loads of money by George Soros to riot and destroy, commit arson and all this other happy horse shit who like what the Democrats have been doing. But let's go play your devil went down to Georgia. Mitch has got it all set up. Go ahead, Mitch, play it. We got it.
The Democrats went down to Georgia.
Yeah, love it. I love the salsa, Rolf. That's the best aspect.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a vote to steal. He was in a bind, Biden was behind. He wanted to make a steal. He found suitcases under a table, filled with Biden votes a lot. The devil jumped on a video camera and said, "Boy,
did we lose it?
Dare to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. You run a good campaign, Trump, give the swamp its due. I bet a fiddle of Zuckerbucks."
I wonder why it's breaking up.
I'm not sure.
Mitchell. Play your lawyers hard. Election theft in Georgia. George Soros dealt the cards. If you win, you get this fiddle packed with Zuckerbucks. If you lose, we all get fighting. Yucks!
Don't gear up your team. Play your lawyers hard. Election theft in Georgia. George Soros dealt the cards. If you win, you get this fiddle packed with Zuckerbucks. If you lose, we all get Biden's
Adam Schiff opened up his mouth. Let's start the Schiff show. Fake news flew. The media was in tow. CNN spewed out bogus spin. Pelosi made an evil hiss. Liz Cheney joined in, sounding something like this. Jeff finished up his show, Donald said, "You son of a gun. Sit down in that chair right there. I'll show you how Stop the Steal is done."
Minion machine, run, boys, run. Grabbed in the house of the rising sun. 2,000 mules, both left as sun. Red waves coming, life is fun.
Chuck Schumer bowed his head. He knew he'd been beat. He laid the Zuckerbucks at Donald Trump's feet. Trump said, "Devil, come back in 24 if you want to try again. You son of a gun, I'm the best president who's ever been."
Minion machines, no time for regret. You know an elephant will never forget. Top secret found near Biden's Corvette. New York Post ain't seen nothing yet.
Dedicated to Charlie Daniels. Lyrics and vocals by Rolf Lindgren. Music and background vocals by Midi Salsa, inspired by Charlie Daniels. Thank you.
I really like that, Rolf. I really like that a lot. I actually like that better than the Biden Inflation Blues. It's very professional. I love the background. I love the other singer who joined you. I thought she was wonderful.
And that's Hannah singing.
Yeah, Hannah's
wonderful. Thank you very much.
Hannah's
wonderful. Yeah, and that song lays out all the voter fraud in Georgia. So, you know, someone who doesn't know a lot about politics or whatever, they can listen to that song and they'll learn all the people, the crooks like Adam Schiff, Liz Cheney, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. They'll learn about the suit. I just heard this on the radio. They're talking about suitcases of votes for Biden found under a table. A suitcase of ballots found under a table. They're still talking about that.
Of course. Of course.
And now, of course, the way to stop that is to get more poll workers. Now, remember that Georgia passed a new election law, too, since the 2020 election. So also in Wisconsin, the Supreme Court banned drop boxes, by the way. Now, some people think that they're going to bring those back because the new judge is going to do that. But right now in some of the key states, now some states are screwed up, like Arizona, okay? They flood the state, and same with Pennsylvania. They flood the state with mail-in ballots, and who knows how they're doing it. Also in Michigan, the problem in Michigan is that somehow this Whitmer, first of all, they convicted a lot of those people in that fake kidnapping plot, even though the undercover agents, there were more undercover agents in the group than the plotters. The plotters clearly didn't have criminal intent. It was a complete scam, but they did convict some of the people. So there's problems in each state. Each state has its own battle, but I think Wisconsin and Georgia are in better shape than they were in the last election. So also, I think that the Democrats took over the Michigan legislature, by the way, since the last election. So that's not good news. Now, I want to make an observation about elections. You probably haven't heard this before. Now, you do hear a lot about ballot harvesting by Democrats. You hear about that. But one of the biggest factors in the Democrats increasing their vote totals is simply ballot harvesting with college students. When I was in college, the voter turnout was like 8% for college students. It was really low. It was less than 10%. Even in presidential elections, it was very, very low.
Yeah.
Now it's like 80 or 90% at least in Dane County. They basically hire people to go to every single college student, every dorm, every apartment building. And they basically get everybody. If you have a county that's already predominantly Democrat, and then you have a dorm, you know, people who rent are more likely to be Democrats than property owners. Okay, so you have another demographic factor. You live in an apartment building, and you're a college student. You live in an apartment building, and you're just renting. Okay, those people are much more likely to be Democrats. So all you do is you get everybody a ballot. You hire someone to contact every single person in each building. That's why you need $400 million from Zuckerberg or whatever you have, whatever, who's ever paying for it. And that's how they, that's, just imagine how many votes they're gaining by getting the voter turnout just among, say, college students in Wisconsin to go from 8% to 80%. That's enough to win the election or lose the election. You know, most of the elections in Dane County have been decided by 20 to 30,000 votes or less. Scott Walker lost by less than 20,000. Our Attorney General, Brad Schimmel, he lost by less than 10,000 votes, or less. No, it was less than 15 to 17,000. His was closer than Walker's, I think. The Supreme Court race was a big loss. Kelly lost. One of Kelly's problems was he was anti-Trump. You know, so Trump people aren't going to turn out for someone who's anti-Trump. Trump is a big plus in elections, and the reason for that is the ballot harvesters are going to get the Democrats to vote no matter who's running, or even if they're an anti-Trump, because they're just going to say that the Republican is worse than Trump. They're just going to say that Trump, this guy's worse, this is Trump on steroids or something. They'll cite something that they did that's worse than Trump, like DeSantis is worse than Trump. He wants abortion limited to 6 weeks or something like that. Or DeSantis is worse than Trump. He attacked Walt Disney or something. And then people who don't know much about politics will say, oh, yeah. And then they'll vote Democrat. So it doesn't make any difference if it's Trump or not on the Democrat side. What does make a difference is on the Republican side. If Trump isn't on the ballot or endorsing the candidate, people who like Trump, these are not people who are Republicans who are voting. A lot of these people think the Republicans are just as corrupt as the Democrats. You know, and the reason for that is you have people like Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, George Bush, you know, Karl Rove. These are the kind of people who have been important Republican leaders over the last few years, or some of them are still the important leaders. So a lot of people who are more like Trump, they vote for Trump. They're not going to vote for someone else. So we've got to get Trump through the primaries. It looks to me like it's going to be a cakewalk to get him through the primaries. The DeSantis campaign is not doing very well. DeSantis is actually doing so bad that I don't think he's really the favorite in 2028 anymore either.
What happened to his campaign, Rolf? How did DeSantis fall apart so fast?
Well, he's to a lot of people, he's just a Republican who's one of these guys who wears a suit. He's some guy who wears a suit, and he says he's going to do a bunch of stuff, and nothing ever gets done. Now, he has done a lot of stuff in Florida, relatively speaking, to what other governors have done. Remember, Scott Walker was the most popular governor in the country for a while, too. Okay, and then he kind of flamed out when he ran for president. And Walker did some things in Wisconsin that were really good, but then he didn't keep it up. And DeSantis has a pro-Republican, a pro-Trump, pro-DeSantis legislature. Okay, so he could be doing more. So Trump is far more aggressive on pushing issues than DeSantis is. And you know, Glenn Youngkin, when he's another guy. Some people say, oh, this Glenn Youngkin, yeah, he's really good. He came in and got elected in 2021, and he did something like the first week or something. He did something that everybody was talking about. Can't even remember what it was anymore. Okay, but since then, how often have you heard about Glenn Youngkin? Because Glenn Youngkin he's just a weaker version of DeSantis. He's also a weaker version of Scott Walker. He got one thing done, and now he's popular enough with Republicans in Virginia that he can probably get reelected. Okay, which is really what he's looking for. Okay, he's not going to push the issues and hammer the issues like Trump is. Nobody pushes the issues like Trump. You know, did you see the new ad by Trump, the new ad about if I were the deep state?
Yeah, it was wonderful, Rolf. Wonderful.
So that would be good. That would be a good one to play on your radio show. If I were the deep state, now who else would put out an ad like this? You know, if I were the deep state, I would own the voter counting machine. Is that it? No. Okay. If I was the deep state, I would, I wouldn't question the viruses, but I would allow Fauci to run free or something. There was so much stuff in that ad. It was unbelievable.
Yes.
And the talk about, I would arrest my opponents. Anybody who spoke against me, I would have them arrested.
Yeah.
I would do false flags, and they show the January 6th. They called the January 6th. I would have a compromised candidate, which is Joe Biden. The whole thing is just an unbelievable. It's really like an Alex Jones type production. In fact, in many ways, it's actually possibly better than Alex Jones because it's really condensed down. It's about a minute and 50 seconds long. It's really, really good. And no other person would do it. Can you imagine DeSantis doing that?
Yeah. Hang on, Rob. We got a caller, Frank from New York.
Uh-oh.
Frank, join the conversation.
Thank you, Jim. Rob, I love you, brother. And I think Trump was well-intentioned early on, but I truly believe he got compromised when he met with Barack Obama 2 days after he beat Hillary. You know, he broke all these campaign promises the first time around. He never built the wall. He didn't jail Hillary. He didn't bring the troops home from the Middle East. He didn't get along with Russia. Didn't overturn Obamacare. He didn't get the vaccine commission going after he talked to RFK Jr. Of course, then he talked to Bill Gates, and that turned around. He didn't get that voter integrity commission off the ground, and I bet he wishes he did, because we know they stole that last election. He was going to work on the infrastructure, but that didn't take place. He was going to bring back Glass-Steagall, but that faltered. And he was going to defund sanctuary cities, and that never took place. Can we trust him on what he's going to be telling us this time around?
Why is he being charged with all these crimes then? If he's just working for George Soros or
I didn't say he's working for George Soros.
Well, who is he working for? Obama?
No, he's getting his orders probably from the intelligence agencies. Okay, I think Obama. You know, him and Obama sat down for an hour and a half.
Well,
those things during the last 10 minutes.
Said, but let's start with the wall. Okay.
Yeah.
Trump was trying to build the wall, but the Congress didn't pass legislation to build the wall, and then the courts.
Article 4, yeah. Section 4, the Constitution. It's his responsibility. Okay. If Congress don't do it, he's supposed to protect each state. Okay.
Frank, you've made your points. Let Rolf respond.
Okay, but you don't think that. Okay, but the Congress still didn't do anything, as far as not arresting Hillary. Okay, have you ever read about Julius Caesar before? You ever read about Julius Caesar?
What does that have to do with Hillary?
Frank,
we know Hillary.
Julius Caesar didn't like to get revenge on his political enemies because he thought it would derail the Roman Republic. Obviously the people who murdered Julius Caesar were people that Julius Caesar had already pardoned. Trump may have made the same mistake. It might be a mistake. But if you start arresting people, then you spiral out of control and you end up with a banana.
Okay, he didn't address Hillary. Okay, I can understand that. He did hire more Goldman Sachs guys in his first 2 years than Obama and Bush did, and there's 16 total. He screwed Roy Moore. Okay, he put the ban on bump stocks by executive order. Am I correct or not?
Yeah, the bump stocks, I don't agree with. I didn't really agree with that one. That was one of the few things. The reason why he did that, though, well, first of all, the NRA, which I know has some weaknesses, the NRA approved it. That's the first reason why he did it. The strategic reason was to take gun control off the table with a minuscule thing about bump stocks that most people had never heard of, to take off that.
Okay.
So the Democrats,
I understand
that's why
that.
He did that. It was not necessarily a good move, but that's why he did it.
Why didn't he pardon Julian Assange?
Okay, Julian Assange does not have strong support among Republicans.
Julian Assange helped him greatly.
I know he did. Okay, he'll do it. He will pardon him the second time around.
Oh, yeah, well, he was going to do that the first time. He was going to pardon the January 6ers, too. They're still all in jail.
Okay. he didn't have enough leverage to pardon the January 6th people because the Senate
he doesn't need leverage. He's the president.
Yes, he does.
Frank,
he pardoned Sholem Weiss.
Frank,
let me explain the leverage issue. Trump had just been impeached for January 6th. We didn't have all the facts in yet. We know the facts now, but we didn't have them all the first week or two. Remember, this all happened in a 2 week period. Okay, the House impeached Trump.
Who provides the leverage?
Well, the leverage is the Constitution.
We're almost at the end of the show. I would be glad to have more time, but I want Paul to have the final word.
The Senate had 57 votes to remove Trump from office and prevent him from running again. If they had 67 votes, then Trump would not be allowed to run for president again.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about Julian Assange, who you left twisted in the wind.
It's the same thing. He didn't have enough leverage. Trump was under investigation. He had to try to get people approved by the Senate. Remember, we don't have a dictatorship in the United States. We have a president who has strong powers, but the Senate has a lot of powers too. They have to confirm all the people that he appoints.
Rolf, you did a great job today. I'm just absolutely delighted with the show today. And I think Frank's gone a little over the top. For all his flaws, Trump is far and away.
A lot of people think the way Frank did. A lot of people think like Frank did, but there's more to it than that.
Great.
All right, thank you very much. I had a great time.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their